Hello, and welcome to our podcast. My name is Erin Unkefer, and today we'll be diving into the culture of sports in Dublin, Ireland. While the people of Ireland participate in many sports that are played around the world, there's one set of sports in particular that purely calls Ireland home. Today, we'll be talking about the Gaelic Games. These games date back to 1829 BC during ancient sporting festivals dedicated to a Celtic goddess. Over the last four centuries, the games have become a major religious and cultural activity. In the 17th century, the games became more organized as noblemen enforced more structure to the pastime. However, during the 1880s, players and activists for the Celtic Games became concerned that these sports may lose popularity due to the introduction and encouragement of English sports to the Irish population. During this time period, we often see British influences attempting to reform Irish Catholics to be less barbaric, as they were sometimes referred to, and to act more like British gentlemen. To preserve these important cultural games, Irishmen established the Gaelic Athletic Association, the GAA, in 1884. This organization was crucial to keeping the Gaelic sports alive, which are still widely played in Ireland today. The GAA regulates four sports that are included in the games: Gaelic football, Gaelic handball, rounders, and hurling. In today's podcast, I will mainly be focusing on Gaelic football as it has the most significance in Dublin. Gaelic football is played on a soccer-like field with two teams of 15 players each. At the end of each field is a soccer-like goal with two upright posts, kind of like what we see in American football. Players can score points by either kicking the ball into the goal or through the uprights. To move the ball along the field, players can use a combination of carrying the ball, bouncing it, kicking it, hand passing to another player, or soloing, which is when the player drops the ball down onto their own foot and then kicks it back up to themselves to keep going. The opposite team is allowed to make contact with players in possession of the ball, so often the game can become very rough. Let's step back again and look at the Gaelic Athletic Association as a whole. The GAA is an Irish amateur sporting and cultural association focused on promoting indigenous Gaelic games and pastimes. While their main focus is sports, the association also promotes Irish music, dance, and language. The GAA takes great pride in its heritage, but this heritage is also strongly intertwined with religion. Sports players in the league are almost exclusively Catholics, while Protestant Irish people often avoid or are excluded from the GAA because of this Catholic and political atmosphere around the league. The clubs of the GAA also fall into Catholic parish boundaries, which further highlight their close association with the church. Rule 42 of the GAA also prohibits competing sports, which mainly happen to be British sports, from playing at GAA grounds and stadiums. While for most of history, Protestant English people put strain on the Irish Catholics, within the GAA, we actually see the roles are reversed. Okay, let's switch gears and focus on Dublin again. Dublin's GAA team is nicknamed the Boys in Blue because of their iconic light blue and navy jerseys. The Dublin team is also one of the best in the leagues, only coming second in the number of All-Ireland championships behind Kerry. They were also given the title of the best GAA team in terms of attendance, meaning that a lot of people participate in the Dublin team. So at the end of the Gaelic football season, the final All-Ireland Senior Championship is held at Croke Park in Dublin. So during the finals, Dublin will receive over 80,000 sports fans. So it's really this hub of Gaelic football at the end of the season. Croke Park is the largest stadium within the GAA and ranks among the top five stadiums in Europe by capacity. The stadium was named after a Catholic Archbishop, Thomas Croke, highlighting again this close association we see between Irish sports and Catholicism. The last topic I want to mention before inviting my guests in is an event that occurred in Dublin's Cork Park in 1920 called Bloody Sunday. To provide some context, I'll give a quick history lesson on Irish independence. From the beginning of 1919 to July of 1921, a brutal war between the Irish Republican Army and British forces was occurring. The Irish Republic was fighting to remove British rule and establish their own republic. A police force in Ireland, called the RIC, supported the British forces. Within the public, most Irish Catholics supported a new republic, while most Protestants wanted to stay in the British Union. So, early in the morning on November 21, 1920, the Irish Republic Army assassinated a group of British intelligence operatives. In retaliation, later that day, the RIC, that police force in alliance with British forces, entered Croke Park. A Gaelic football match between Dublin and Tipperary was taking place, and a large crowd of over 5,000 were in attendance. Without mercy, the RIC walked into the stadium and opened fire on the crowd, killing 13 civilians and injuring over 60 people. This event would become known as Bloody Sunday. Within the GAA, we see this exclusion of British Protestants in their sports because it stems from such a dark history of British and Irish conflict, pain, and violence. The Irish people hold great pride for their Gaelic sports and preserving their history through the GAA because they literally died to protect and preserve it. Coming back on a lighter note, I'm going to bring in two of my friends who are part of this class also, and they're studying sports in their own cities. So we'll have a quick transition and then they'll come right in. Hello, we're here today with Kayla and Taylor, and we're talking about sports in different cities. And so can each of you introduce yourself and describe what your sport and what your city is?
Okay, hi, I'm Taylor. The sport that I will be focusing on is rugby, specifically in the Maori culture. I'm focusing on a team called the Maori All Blacks, which is an all-Maori team in New Zealand.
And I'm Kayla, and I'm focusing on the gladiatorial games in Pompeii, and specifically how they were banned right before the eruption of Vesuvius.
Interesting, thank you for that. And so, the Gaelic sports that I'm focusing on are highly intertwined with the Irish culture, as their mission is to preserve Ireland's unique games and pastimes. And I was curious to see how your guys' sports is also intertwined with the culture of the city or the country.
Well, one thing that the New Zealand All Blacks do before each rugby game is they perform the haka, which is a ceremonial dance or challenge in the Maori culture. So it's just really cool seeing how since 1910, when they first became a team, how they perform this ceremony before each game as a group.
And in Pompeii, the gladiatorial games connected Pompeii to the rest of Rome, and because it is a big sport in all of Rome.
Okay, thank you for that. Okay, many sports that we play today are derived from ancient Greek and Roman sports, such as Kayla's. Mm-hmm. And in Gaelic football, we see that there's a lot of squabbles and violent outbursts, and just a lot of kind of that physicalness when it comes to those sports. And so, how might this be similar to the tone or different in each of your sports?
Well, rugby is very violent. I almost think of it as football without the padding, and they also do have a different goal in mind, but it's very easy to get a concussion or get injured. And also in rugby, there's a rule where there's no timeouts unless someone gets injured, so it's just a very intense game that consistently keeps on going with no stopping point.
And as you mentioned, gladiatorial games are very violent, but more than just the games themselves, there was actually a riot between Nuceria and Pompeii right after one of the gladiatorial games in Pompeii, and that led to the ban of gladiatorial games for 10 years. And people died. A lot of people from Nuceria died in that riot, so just overall very violent culture.
Yeah, it's interesting to see how our origins in sports started really violently, and we still see that today. And lastly, so... the Gaelic Athletic Association, the GAA, which I am focusing on, because of their strong ties to their Irish culture and their Catholic culture, they've also been accused in the past and even currently of excluding non-Catholics and mostly Protestants from the sports because of their strong cultural ties. And so I was wondering if there has been any exclusion from your sports, either from class or people group or gender or things like that. I'd be really curious to hear about that.
Well, in the past, there was a rule where you had to look Maori to play on the New Zealand Maori team. But they would only enforce this like through the way you looked. But now they do it by ancestry, like they check your background and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But as for culture, there was a time where the Maori All Blacks deliberately lost a game against the South African national rugby team to protest apartheid and just how the New Zealand government agreed to not let the Maori team play in South Africa in like the 1970s because South Africa had very strict apartheid laws where they didn't allow people of different races to play together, and so their coach had them play really badly to protest that.
Wow. And to be a gladiator, you obviously have to be pretty strong, and they're trained in certain types of weapons. In some cases, women were actually permitted to fight as gladiators, but this was not very common, and
okay.
It's not your stereotypical gladiator that you think
mm-hmm.
about. Yeah.
Yeah, and so for the GAA, there is a women's league and a men's league. There's some of the sports that don't overlap. Is there any women's rugby league in New Zealand, Taylor?
I'm sure there are. It's not very common, though, just because rugby is just so violent and it's so hands-on that there's like kind of a stereotype almost that like women wouldn't be able to handle that. And even though, you know, here at UC Davis, we have a women's rugby team, then Maori All Blacks is just a male dedicated team, which is like what I'm focusing on, but I'm sure there are like some rugby unions where women can play.
Okay, thank you all for your time.